chapter 2. 1 John 2. Now John is writing to believers. He's been declaring the word of life. He's been declaring Christ our advocate, Christ our righteousness, Christ our propitiation. And now he's going to deal with assurance. And he says here in 1 John 2, 3, he says, "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Now, a believer's chief desire, you and I that know Christ, our chief desire is we want assurance to know that we know him. We want assurance to know we are in him. A believer wants to know Christ. Now, we love true doctrine. We love true doctrine. But we don't just love doctrine for doctrine's sake. We love teaching that teaches us to know Christ. It teaches us him. And we love doctrine that makes us to know that we know him and that we're in him. We don't just love doctrine. It's not what we know that is our salvation. It's who we know. The believer wants to know him. We want to know Christ. Paul said, "I count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." He said, I count all things but dung that I might win Christ and be found in him. Not having my own righteousness, but his righteousness. I want his righteousness. I want to be found in him. So that's our desire. We want to know him. We want to know that we know him. And we want to be found in him. Now here, the Spirit of God declares that it is possible for believers to have assurance that we know him and have assurance that we're in him. I have some brethren that have trouble with assurance. They struggle in having assurance. And you and I who believe and may have assurance, sometimes we lose our assurance. So it's possible for a believer to be a true believer and not have assurance. So if you ever encounter one of your brethren who is having difficulty with assurance, don't think they're not a believer just because they don't have assurance. Because a believer can struggle with assurance or waver in assurance. But we want to know and we want to understand. Now, some people insist that a believer cannot have assurance that he knows the Lord. But Job said, "I know that my Redeemer liveth." He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth. "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." He knew that. He had assurance of that. The Apostle Paul said, "I know whom I have believed." I know whom I believe. I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And John had assurance. And that's one of the reasons he's writing this epistle. He wants his fellow believers to have assurance. He said over in chapter 3 and verse 14, "We know that we've passed from death to life." And he gave a reason why we know. He said over in chapter 5 and verse 13, "Those things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." That's why he was writing this epistle, so that we would know that we're in Christ and know we have eternal life. So, in our text, the Holy Spirit of God is declaring to us it's possible for a believer to know that we know Christ and that we are in Christ. And that's my prayer tonight. I want the Holy Spirit to give you and I assurance that we know Him. I especially want this for my brethren who struggle with assurance. I want you to know, if you're in Christ, I want you to know it. If you know Him, I want you to know it. I want you to have some assurance of it. Now, I want to show you this. I want to show you three things in this. First of all, the way we know. And secondly, by whom we know. And thirdly, the result of knowing. Now, first of all, the Spirit of God declares to us through John that we have assurance that we know Christ if we keep His commandments. He says here, "Hereby we do know that we know Him. Hereby we have assurance that we know Him if we keep His commandments." Now, when you hear the word commandments, what do you think about? Most of us probably, first thing you think about is the Ten Commandments. You think about the law given at Mount Sinai. Well, turn over to 1 John 3 and look at verse 23. This is the commandment. This is His commandment. 1 John 3:23. "This is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." That's the light and easy yoke that Christ gives His people. The first commandment to those who know Him, to those that have been made to know Christ, the first commandment is believe on Christ. Go with me to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I'm going to, as we go through 1 John, I'm going to refer to the Gospel of John a lot, because this is where John learned these things that he's writing to us. He was with Christ, and he heard Christ, and he learned these things from Christ. Look over here at John chapter 6, and look at verse 28. This is that after he'd fed the multitude, and all this group of religious folks was following him. And they said, therefore, unto him, "What shall we do that we might work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent." Now this is the first commandment of our God, believe on Christ. Now you and I, you mark your place there in John at the Gospel. We'll come back to that. But you and I who've been made to know Christ, we've been made to know Him. And we've heard this commandment come effectually to believe on Him. And by that effectual command, we're given faith and we believe Him. And we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's God in human flesh. He is the mediator between God and His people. He is the surety. He is the one God chose and sent forth into this world to redeem His people. And you and I that believe Him, we believe He is our sovereign Lord and our sovereign Savior. He's as sovereign in salvation as He is in providence. He's our sovereign Lord and our sovereign salvation. That means He's the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. He's everything. He is our salvation. He's the author and finisher of our faith. This is what true faith believes concerning Christ. Salvation is of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself. We believe that He is our shepherd. Christ said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and the result is they follow Me." And we've heard His voice, and He's known us and made us thereby to know Him. And so we believe on Him. We follow Him. We look to Him. We believe that He's our prophet our priest and our king. Everything we need to be accepted of God and to come into God's presence, the Lord Jesus Christ is. Faith believes we're complete in Him. There's nothing to be added by us, nothing that can be added by us. We're complete in Christ, and all our acceptance with God is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sanctifier and our sanctification. We believe He's our Redeemer who redeemed us from the curse of the law, and He Himself is our redemption. He is everything to the believer, and so we obey Him by believing on Him. This is His command, believe on Him. And we believe Him. And we obey Him by publicly confessing Him in believer's baptism. We confess that He's all our salvation, that we're walking after Him in newness of life. We obey Him when we come to the Lord's table, and we partake of this table remembering Him as He commanded. This is what we do through faith in Christ. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we don't just believe on Christ and then turn back to ourselves or to the law. We walk by faith. From the day He calls us to faith in Him, we walk by faith. We don't stop walking by faith. That means we're led of Christ. We really believe we're led of Christ. Through the hearing of the gospel, He corrects us. He strengthens us. He turns us when we need to be turned. And He directs our path, and we follow Him. We walk by faith. That's how we understand the Scriptures, is through faith, looking to Christ. He's the key to the whole Word of God, to the gospel, and we follow Him. We walk by faith in Christ. And then we've been seeing in Romans 3:31 that it's through faith in Christ that we establish the whole law of God, because He came and established it for His people. So it's through faith in Him that all the commandments given at Sinai are all fulfilled. Now the second commandment, as part of that one commandment, back in John 13, is to love one another. John 13, verse 34. He said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." When somebody says, "Well, how do you know how to love one another?" He told us, "Love one another as I have loved you." We learn how to love one another by seeing how He loved us. We look to how He loved us. He said, "Love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another." He said, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one to another." Now, when He's made us to know Him, first and foremost, the brother that we love is Him. He's our elder brother. He's the firstborn among many brethren. The firstborn of God. The elder, our eldest brother. And we love Him first and foremost. And loving Him, we do whatever His Word teaches us. Constrained by His love for us, whatever Christ teaches us in His Word, in His Gospel, that's what we do. That's our command that we're to follow, whatever He teaches us. And we obey Him constrained by His love. We further His gospel, send forth this gospel into this world out of love for Him. And we want to do nothing to distract from it or turn our brethren from it because of love for Christ. We want Him to be honored. We want Him to be glorified. We want all to see Him high and lifted up. And secondly, we love our brethren. We love those that are in Him and begotten of Him, our brethren in Christ. And so He said there, "You love as I have loved you." Now, how did He love us? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. And here's how He loved us. And this is something of what His love works in us. 1 Corinthians 13:4. He says there, charity, and that's speaking of love, charity suffereth long. He's long-suffering and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. When it comes to your brethren, you don't think evil against them. And you don't want to rejoice in iniquity. If you hear something, you don't want to rejoice in their fall. Or rejoice, you want to rejoice in the truth. And look here, and it bears all things. Love beareth all things, and believeth all things, and hopeth all things, and endureth all things. This is how Christ loves us, and this is how we love our brethren. Charity never faileth. It never fails. This is the best way. Charity is the best way. It never fails. Now, back in our text, 1 John chapter 2. So those two things, hereby we know that we know Him, if we love our brethren and we believe on Christ. We believe on Christ and we love our brethren. And believe in Christ, that means we obey any word He speaks in the gospel to us, we are to obey it. And we love one another and everything that goes along with that. And that's everything He teaches us. He's teaching us to love one another. And chiefly, the way you love one another is by believing on Christ and pointing your brethren to Christ, helping them to behold Christ and to believe on Christ. That's the best way you love one another, is to help one another to Christ, to see Christ, to love Christ, to rest in Christ. But He shows us the opposite here. 1 John 2:4. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Most everybody says they know Christ. It's hard to come across somebody in this world that will say, I don't know God, and I don't know His Christ. Most everybody you come in contact with says they know God, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ. There's some people claim to know Him historically. You'll hear people say, I believe there's a God. I believe that there was a man named Jesus Christ that walked this earth. That's not believing on Christ, just to believe some facts about Him. There's those that believe Him professedly. Some folks have made a profession of Him, and they say they know Him. They've joined a church, and they profess that they know Him. They may go to church services on a regular basis, and very diligent to do things in the name of Christ, and they say they know Him. And then there's those that know Him theologically. There's folks that know the 5 points of Calvinism that we preach. There's folks that know true doctrine and know the Bible and are able to quote the Bible to you. But knowing doctrine and knowing a system of doctrine and knowing facts about God is not necessarily knowing Him. There's a great difference between knowing about Christ and knowing Christ. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments. That person that says he knows Him. He says he knows Him. He says he believes on Christ. But he doesn't believe on Christ only. He believes on Christ, says he believes on Christ, but he's looking to some experience in his past, a profession he made, or some religious experience he had. He's looking to his self-wisdom, to his self-seeking. He doesn't believe on Christ only. To believe Christ, to believe Him alone, trust Him only. The one who thinks he's obligated, after he believes Christ, he's obligated, he must keep the law of Mount Sinai, or he can't be saved. He doesn't believe on Christ only. He doesn't believe Christ. Because he's looking to Christ and he's looking to his works. He who has a mercenary spirit, he's trying to indebt God to give him a reward better than others. That's a mercenary spirit. Believers are going to have Christ. He's our reward. Our Lord said in this life, you're going to have reward. You're going to have houses and friends more than you ever had before. And after this life, you're going to have eternal life. That's the reward. Eternal life with Christ. But a mercenary spirit's trying to indebt God to have more. That's not trusting Christ. That's not believing Christ. That's looking to your works. Some people trust their denomination. They trust in their denomination because they're a such and such Baptist or a such and such Presbyterian or whatever. Salvation's not in a denomination. Christ is salvation. There are those who arrange the worship of God and the fellowship of brethren around their life. When they have time, they fit it in. That person is not drinking and eating the body of Christ. He's not living on Christ when he's just fitting Christ in when he has a little space available. We arrange everything around the worship of Christ, around the fellowship of brethren. Everything's arranged around Christ and not the other way around. And secondly, he doesn't love Christ's brethren. A person that says he knows Christ, but he's full of self-love rather than love for brethren. He thinks he's more righteous and he looks down on his brethren. He's suspect of his brethren, always suspecting something. Or that one who will not overlook sin and will not bear the burden of his brethren. He's easily offended, makes a man an offender for a word. Separates himself from brethren, forsakes the assembly of brethren. A man who can take them or leave them, that's not love of brethren. It's just not. James said, what does it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith? Right here, John says, you got a man says he knows Christ. He says he knows him, but he doesn't keep his commandments. What does it profit a man if he says he believes Christ, but he doesn't have work? Is faith going to save him? Thou believest there's one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Faith without works is dead. The Spirit says in our text, God the Holy Spirit says in verse 4, he's a liar. He does not know Christ, and the truth is not in him. Here's the problem. He has not been born of the incorruptible seed. He hasn't been made to know Christ by the truth giving him a new birth. That's the problem. Now, how do I know if I'm trusting an experience in my past or profession that I made some years ago? How do I know if I'm doing that? This is how you know you're trusting something other than Christ. Whatever it is. If the Word of God contradicts it, if you come, you hear the gospel, and the Word of God contradicts whatever it is or however it is that we say we were believed or say that we trusted God or say that we came to Christ or that we say we're trusting in or we have to do, if the Word of God contradicts it, and I deny the Word of God, to defend whatever that thing is, that profession or that experience or that work or whatever, I deny the Word of God to defend that, then I'm trusting in that. I'm trusting that. I believe that's my salvation. You know, when the Spirit makes you to know Christ, when the Holy Spirit brings you to know Christ, a believer is made to renounce everything else that this Word of God contradicts. We're made to renounce it. As being vanity and as being worthless. Just like Paul said, I count it all dung. Hey, it's no loss at all because it was no gain to me at all. And the Spirit of God makes you see what the Word of God says And anything that doesn't line up with the Word of God, He makes you renounce it. He makes you renounce it. It's called repentance and faith and submission to God. And when we're baptized, baptism is the public renouncement of everything that we formerly had confidence in and formerly was associated with. It's the public renouncing of all our former false confidence. And it's a confession that from here on, we're walking in newness of life, believe in Christ, trust in Christ alone for all our salvation. That's what baptism is confessing. So let me hurry along here now. You remember whenever Christ in John 6 back there, when he said, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent." Just about everybody Christ came in contact with said they knew God and said they knew the Messiah that was to come. That was their hope. That was what they claimed they knew. But by rejecting Christ, they showed they didn't keep his commandments. And notice that he said, they came to him and said, "What works must we do that we might work the works of God?" He said, "This is it. Believe on him whom he sent." And remember what they did? They said, "This is a hard saying," and they went away and they didn't trust him. And they proved by that, by not keeping his commandments, they proved that they were liars and the word of God wasn't in them. But you remember what the apostles did? The Lord said, "Will you go away also?" And they said, "To whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and we're sure you are the Christ, the Son of the living God." See, they kept his commandment. They did. They believed him. They believed him. And they loved one another so much that they wouldn't forsake one another. They believed him. So, do you believe on Christ that he's your only acceptance with God? Do you love those in whom Christ dwells, your brethren that are one with Christ? I've said this to you often. Believers, our fellow brethren, are the closest thing we have to Christ on this earth in person. Now, he's with us all the time in spirit. He dwells in each of us. But I'm saying, because he dwells in our brethren, in person, that's the closest thing we have to Christ, is our brethren. Do you love your brethren? You believe on Christ and love your brethren? Well, listen to what the Spirit says. The Apostle says here, the Spirit says to the apostles, through the Apostle John, "Hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." This is the assurance. Faith is the evidence. Faith is the assurance. Don't look to anything else for assurance. If you believe it, then you know it. That's what he's saying. That's how we know it, if you believe on Christ. Now, secondly, I want to show you this. The Spirit of God declares by whom we know Christ. Here's how we know him. Here's how we keep his word. Verse 5, 1 John 2:5. "Whoso keepeth his word," that is his commandments. Same thing he meant up in the other verse. "Whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected." That means the love of God has brought him to this intended end. The love has brought him to this perfect, this purposed end. Right here. To where he keeps the word of God. That's what the whole end of the love of God is about, is to bring his people, his child, and make his child keep his word. The love of God works to bring his child to believe on Christ and love our brethren. That's the perfect end to which the love of God brings his people. Now, he's not talking here about some you perfecting love or you being perfect. He's talking simply about this is the end to which the love of God brings us. Right here. To believe Christ and love our brethren. Go to Romans 5 and look at verse 1. We're just about to this. I don't think we'll get there Sunday, but Romans 5 and verse 1. But we see this, faith and love right here, and we see why. Romans 5:1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. There's faith. There's the first commandment. Believe in Christ. All right, here's love. Not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. Tribulations that have to do with our brethren and loving our brethren. Trials between brethren. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed. Now, why do we have this faith and love? Here it is. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. That's how we have this faith and love. When the Holy Ghost is shed abroad in our hearts, and the Holy Ghost makes us to know Christ, He brings us to believe on Him and to love our brethren. He shows us the sovereign, unchangeable, unchanging love of God whereby He loved us. And this is how He brings us to believe Him and love one another. He shows us His love for His people. Here's what we see for the first time. I'm just going to use John to show you this. 1 John 3, look at verse 1. For the first time, we behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. When He sheds His love in your heart, He makes you to see that before this world was made, He called you and made you a son of God by electing you in Christ simply because He loved you. Without any cause in you whatsoever is what He makes you to see. And then look at 1 John 4 and verse 9. When He sheds His love in your heart, He makes you see that in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the satisfaction for our sin. That's what He makes you to see. I didn't love God. And though I was a rebel, though I was an enemy against God, and though I hated God, God still sent His only begotten Son to lay down His life and shed His blood and make satisfaction for me. That's what He did for all His people. And you don't see this until God sheds His love in your heart. Makes you see this. Makes you understand this. Makes you understand it and believe it for you personally. Makes it real to you. And then look at this. 1 John 4:12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, if we just remotely have love in our hearts for God and for one another, we can't glory in it. It's because God dwelleth in us and His love has brought us to that purposed end. He's brought us to that end, to where we have this love in our hearts. He's the one that sent the Spirit. He's the one that regenerated us. He's the one that Christ was formed in us so that we have this love shed abroad in our hearts, and that's where this faith and this love comes from. We can't glory in it, but we see this once He shed this love in our heart. And then look at this, verse 17. 1 John 4:17. Herein, and there again, our love made perfect. It means herein is this purposed end to which God's love brings us. When the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, He gives us boldness in the day of judgment. How come? Because as He is, so are we in this world. As Christ is right now, holy, perfect, perfect before God, accepted of God, so are we right now in this world. And when He sheds His love in your heart, He brings you to behold this. And that's what casts fear out. That's what makes you quit fearing God and quit fearing coming to God. And you have some boldness now in the day of judgment. You see Him, you know Him, and you know that we're perfect in Christ, accepted in the Beloved. And so when this love shed abroad in our hearts, this is what we see right here, verse 19. In all of this, this is what He teaches us. We love Him because He first loved us. That's what He shows us. So, what the Holy Spirit's teaching us here, and get this, be very careful to get this. He's not teaching us to seek assurance in our obedience. He's not telling us to seek assurance in the fact that we believe God and that we love our brethren. He's not saying look to that for assurance. What he's saying is the one cause that makes his people believe on Christ is when God has shed his love in our heart and made us to know Christ. He's saying, if I believe Christ, it's because God shed his love in my heart, made me to love him. Back there in John 6, remember when they kept murmuring and they said, we have to eat your flesh and drink your blood, and they didn't understand he meant you have to believe on me and live of me. And he said this to them. He said, it's written. He told him, no man can come to me except my Father draw him. He said, it's written, they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard, every man that's been taught of God, that Christ is the Son of God, who perfected us by his one offering. Every man that's been taught the gospel of Christ in our hearts and has learned effectually in our hearts, we've learned about Christ and learned Christ of the Father, so that we truly know Christ, the sure result is this. Christ said, they come unto me. They come unto me. They believe on me. When you've been taught of God in your heart, and you've learned Christ by God teaching you, you come to Christ. You believe on Christ. And likewise, the one cause that makes us love one another is because we're born of God, and we're made to know Christ. Look at 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth, everyone that keeps his word, does so because he's born of God and he knows God. You get what he's saying here? Even though our love's nothing compared to his love, even though our faith's nothing compared to Christ's faith, he's saying to us, brethren, we know that our love exists only because we're born of God and we know him. That's the only reason we have any love. That's the only reason we have any faith. And that's why the Spirit says in our text, if we keep his word, if we keep his commandments, hereby we do know that we know him. You get what I'm saying? You get what he's saying? This is how we know it. Because if you can believe him, and if you can love one another, it's because he's made you to know him. And so that's assurance, brethren, that you do know him if you can believe him and if you love one another. You get what I'm saying? He's not saying look to that. He's saying this is how you know you really know him. It's because he's made you to do it. He's made you to know it. So faith in Christ is the evidence, brethren. This is the evidence that we know him. Now, briefly, what is the result? When you know him and you keep his commandments, you believe him, you love him, what's the result? Verse 6, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked. That word ought means as one bound by a debt of gratitude. He that saith he abideth in him ought by debt of gratitude himself also walk even as he walked. Now as the Father's servant, how did Christ walk? By faith and love. That's how he walked. By faith, he obeyed his Father and established the law for his elect so he could take it out of the way so that we could live unto him. So how ought we to walk? As a debt of gratitude for what he did for us, we ought to obey his command and believe on Christ, whereby we've established the whole law of God and obey his light and easy yoke. Whatever he commands us, we obey him. Because he's taken that heavy yoke out of the way. He's obeyed it. He's established it for us. And so as a debt of gratitude, we believe him. And then he loved his elect freely without a cause in us by laying down his life for us. John said back over there in 3:16, 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us. And we ought, as a debt of gratitude to him, lay down our lives for the brethren. Look at 1 John 4:10. He says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God, after this manner, loved us, that is freely without a cause in us, we ought, as a debt of gratitude to him, also love one another after the same manner. We ought to love one another freely without a cause. That means even when they're not loving us, just like we didn't love him. That means even when they're not giving us a cause to love us, just like we didn't give him a cause to love us. See, faith and love rules the believer with a far stronger and a far superior rule than law does. We see it by the joy that faith gives a believer to be able to just wait on the Lord. And the law doesn't give you that joy. The law doesn't make you just wait on the Lord. The law puts it in your hand. And the trial that love endures for brethren that are overtaken in a fault, you see how much greater this rule of love is by how much a brother will endure and suffer for a brother that's overtaken in a fault because he loves him. Law won't do that. Law will make him whip him and judge him and separate from him. Love will make him suffer long with him. Let me give you an example. And I'll close with this. Now, you got somebody that says he knows Christ. And this person knows doctrine inside and out. He's got doctrine inside and out, true doctrine. And he says he knows him. And here's you got a brother that says or he does something that he doesn't understand or that he's offended by. He doesn't agree with it. Well, instead of faith, trust in Christ. Scripture says to his own master, that brother's going to stand or fall. Christ is able to make him stand. But instead of trusting Christ, believing Christ to make the brother stand, instead of love, forbearing, and suffering long with him, just like Christ did with us and still does with us, instead of that, knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge puffeth up. If I don't have love and I have knowledge, all that's going to do is puff me up. And so he separates himself from that fallen brother. And you know what he does by his actions? You know what he's saying by his actions? You stand over there. I'm holier than you are. I'm holier than you are. And the lack of those works of faith and love betray what he says he knows. He says he knows Christ. But a lack of obedience, a lack of believing Christ, and a lack of love betrays his disguise. He doesn't really believe Christ. The Holy Spirit says he's a liar and the word of truth is not in him. But then you have another brother who says he knows Christ, and he hears a brother who is indeed in error, even worse than the first. And he says, faith says, well, if you put all my knowledge in a thimble, it'd rattle around like a peanut in a boxcar. So I can't very well get upset with somebody else that they don't know something. We know nothing as we ought to know it. And I don't know much of anything, but I do know this. My Savior bears long with this poor, ignorant sinner, and he teaches me. Here a little, there a little, precept upon precept. And if he teaches me that way, I trust he's going to teach my brother. I claim I believe a sovereign God. I claim I believe God who's sovereign. So I'm going to trust and believe that sovereign Savior to teach my brother. And love says, when I see how much Christ has suffered with me and how he's borne with me and my rebellion and my stumbling and my unbelief and all, how can I not do anything but just bear with my brother? And just cover the faults of him and just turn him to Christ and help try to love him to Christ. How can I do anything else? And James says, when you see that happen, you see how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith brought to this perfect end. He that saith he abideth in Christ ought, as a debt of gratitude, himself also to walk even as he walked. Let's stand together. Brethren, we bow our hearts before you, Father, and we trust you will keep us and teach us and work this in us by making us to know you and shedding in our hearts your great love and causing each of us and all of our brethren to stand by faith and walk by faith and love one another. Lord, we ask you, increase our love. Increase our love. Make us see your great love and increase our love and increase our faith. We ask you, forgive us of our sins and forgive us for our coldness toward one another. Forgive us our unbelief. And we ask this, Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, Brother Arts.